The person who knows how to abound does not go through life with a kind of scrupulous conscience, always wondering, is it okay to buy this coat or to drive this car or to go on this vacation or to live in this home?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and Colin. Today we're continuing our message, How to Handle the Blessing of God, because for some listening today, they probably have been greatly blessed by God. And that raises a whole series of questions, some of which you've already alluded to.
Yeah, that's right. We're really looking at the principle that the more God trusts to you, the greater responsibility you have. Jesus said, to whom much is given, of that person much will be expected. So how do you acquire the wisdom? How do you acquire the skills that you need to handle the trust that God has given to you? And to do it wisely, in such a way that one day you're going to hear his voice say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. So we're going to look today, Steve, at how we do this with freedom, how we do this with joy, how we do this with generosity. And there's a great deal to learn, and it's all here for us in the Scriptures.
Well, let's open the Scriptures to 1 Timothy chapter 6 as we continue the message, How to Handle the Blessing of God. Here is Pastor Colin.
There's something to be learned in relation to contentment, not only when you have less, but there's something also that needs to be learned in relation to contentment when you have more. Now, more obviously is a relative term. When we say more, if I say more, I immediately, instinctively think about wonderful people who have more than I do. And I'm sure that you do the same. Let's not do that today. Ask the question, do you have more than you had 10 years ago? And for many in our congregation, the answer to that question will be yes. And if you have more than you had 10 years ago, then you need, by definition, to know how to handle more. And there will be some who have less than you had 10 years ago. But even if you have less than you had 10 years ago, the vast majority of us have vastly more than the great majority of people in this world. Indeed, I would say that anybody who lives in America needs to know how to handle the blessing of God. And in the scripture that we looked at last week from Philippians, Paul says, now I know how to be brought low. I know how to be content with less. But he also says, I know how to abound. I know how to handle the blessing of God when God gives me more. So here's the question. Do you know how to abound? Do you know how to wisely handle the blessing of God when he gives you more? Let me give to you these four pointers that all come from 1 Timothy in chapter 6 that we have read together today. First, you know how to abound when you resist the temptations that come with having more. Now you say, what are these temptations that come with having more? And the answer is in verse 17. As for the rich in this present age, so those who have more, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. So very clearly, the first temptation you will have when God gives you more is the temptation to pride. It will be the temptation to credit yourself with what you have accomplished. Remember Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament, he did that. He walked on the palace in Babylon that he had built, and he said, is this not great Babylon that I have built by my own mighty power as a royal residence for my glory and for my majesty? Look at what I've done. And he's walking on the roof of the palace, and the Bible says the next moment his mind snapped. And he's out in the grass like an animal. I have to remind myself that apart from the grace of God, I could not string two coherent thoughts together. When some Christians in Corinth were getting too big for their boots, the Apostle Paul said to them, "What do you have that you did not receive?" Deuteronomy chapter 8, God says to his people, "Beware lest you say in your heart, 'My power and my might and my hand have gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." The first temptation that comes with having more is the temptation to pride. The second temptation is the temptation to presumption. Teach them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Now, here's the point. Money seems to make things more certain. Therefore, it gives to us a sense of greater comfort. It is easy when you have more to have the idea that it will always be so. So people say, "I will do more for Christ later." Really, how much more time do you have? You don't know how much time you have. "I will give more to the Lord later." Really? How much will you have to give in the future? All you know is what you have right now. The temptation to presumption. People who know how to abound, they resist the temptations that come with having more. So there is a genuine humility about them. They know that what they have is what God has given. They don't take the credit for it themselves. There's a shrewdness about them. They know that money is uncertain, and so they don't set their hope on it. They know how to honor God and to make the best use of all that he has entrusted to them. You know how to abound when you resist the temptations that inevitably come with having more. Second, you know how to abound when you remember that you will give an account. Now here, Paul speaks about the appearing, verse 14, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything, in fact, in these verses is framed around the appearing of Jesus Christ. Timothy, here is how you are to live in the light of the appearing of Jesus. Here is what you are to avoid in the light of the appearing of the Lord Jesus. So this theme is right at the center of what the apostle is saying here. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us. We will. And when we're there, we will give an account of ourselves to God. Each of us must do that. And our Lord has made very clear this principle that everyone to whom much is given, of him or of her, much will be required. Now, this principle of more given, more required is made especially clear in Matthew 25, where our Lord gives the parable of the servants who were trusted with various talents. One is given 5 talents, he brings back 5 more from his good investment. Another is given 2 talents, he brings back 2 more in the same way. And the significant thing about these two is that they are both commended in exactly the same words. "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your master's joy." In other words, the master did not judge them by the results they achieved, but rather by the use that they made of what they were given. If it was simply results, then clearly the one who brought back 5 extra talents would have been more highly commended than the one who only brought back 2 talents. But it's not based on results achieved. The assessment that the master makes in our Lord's story is based on, what did you do with what you were given? You were given 2 and you came back with 2 more. You made the best use of what you were given. You were given 5. If you only came back with 2 more, that's not the best use of what you were given. But you came back with 5 and you have made really good use of what you were given. So that's the principle. In other words, the more you are given, the more the Lord requires of you. Now, think about this then. So, what will it be for you then when God says to you, "Now, let's look at everything that I trusted to you in your life. Let's total it all up, everything that passed through your hands, all the years that I gave to you, the gifts and the talents that I gave to you, the money that I gave to you, the opportunities that I held before you. What did you do with all of this?" How did you deploy everything that I trusted to you over the course of your life for the advance of my great purpose in the world? I sent my son into the world, and he said, I will build my church. So how did you use all that I gave to you for this great purpose of gathering together my people? The more God gives you, by definition, the more you will have to account for. Listen to how Jeremiah Burroughs puts this. He says, if a man who had a wealthy estate had nothing else to do but sit by the fire and have his servants bring him his provisions, it would be easy for a man to know how to abound. I mean, if that's all that's expected of someone who's given much, that you just sit by the fire and have everything, everyone do what you need and so forth, everything nicely in place, anyone can do that. And then here's what Burroughs says. But you must know that there is much more falls on your shoulders than this. Things for which you must answer and for which you must give an account before God. Friends, I say this from the heart. Don't ever envy the rich. You may be tempted to do that, to envy those who have more than you do. They will have more to give account for than you do. Never envy the rich. Never envy someone who has a greater opportunity than you do. With it comes a greater accountability with regards to them on that great day that we will all face. I've tried to think how to just press this home from a different angle. And so let me translate this out of the world of money and into the world in which I serve in terms of pastoral ministry and give you this parallel. John Brown, to whom I've referred a few times, I've been reading his biography. He was a great encourager of younger pastors. And over the years, he had cohorts of younger guys that he encouraged and mentored, and in his later years had great joy in seeing them thrive in ministry and all of these good things. And he walked with them very closely and loved them very deeply. And on one occasion, one of the men that he had mentored in a cohort was appointed to serve a congregation that was much smaller than the congregations that his peers and colleagues in that group had been called to serve. And Brown wrote to this young pastor, and this is what he said. I know the vanity of your heart, that you will feel mortified that your congregation is very small in comparison to those of your brethren around you. By the way, I just love the way that people could speak so directly in those days. Here's someone he loves. You don't have to have three affirmations before you get to the point and all of that kind of thing. You know, just look. I know the reality. I know my own heart. I know something about your heart. And I know this is the most natural reaction in the world, my friend, that you will feel mortified that your congregation is much smaller than all the rest of the guys with whom you studied. But assure yourself on the word of an old man that when you come to give an account for them, your church, to the Lord Jesus Christ at his judgment seat, you will think that you have had enough. You see what he's saying? You're tempted to envy your friends who have been given the trust of much larger churches than you have. They're going to have to give an account for a whole lot more even than you will. And when you give account for the congregation where God has set you with a charge, you will think on that day, that was quite enough for me. Now you see the principle that he's working with. The more God gives to you, the more that is required from you.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called How to Handle the Blessing of God. It's part of our series, The Art of Contentment. And we're taking a look today at 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll get back to the message in just a moment. If you missed any of the broadcasts in our series, you can listen online at openthebible.org. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app. You'll find that for free at your app store. Or you can order a copy of the series on CD. Ask about the Art of Contentment when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. 877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information at openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
You know how to abound when you resist the temptations that come with having more, like pride and presumption, and when you remember that you will have to give an account. And that is true for every one of us. Third, you know how to abound, you know how to handle more when you can discern how best to use what God has given. And here I'm looking at verse 18. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Now notice very clearly here, when God gives you more, it is his purpose that you will be generous. And what he requires of you and requires of me is that we will make the best use of all that has been given to us. That we will learn to abound by wisely discerning how to make the best use of what he has trusted into our hands. So what that means very practically is that you look at your life and you say, now, here is what I have. How can I make the best use of what Jesus Christ has trusted to me? Where can I make a difference? How can that best be done? Now, what will come of this generosity that Paul speaks about here? Notice verse 19. To be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Let me give you a picture, and then I'm going to turn it in a direction that's perhaps different from where you may think I'm going with this. Think about packing luggage when you go for a trip. It's always the same for Karen and for me. Let's please travel light this time. We always take too much. We're only going for a few days. And so we set out to pack as little as we possibly can because we're going to have to lug it on one plane and then off and then onto another and so forth and so on. Home is where we belong. So we only pack what we need for the journey. But here's the turn. Suppose for a minute you were going on a trip from which you would never come back. Suppose that everything in your house would be left behind. Well, then you would think about packing in an entirely different way. You would say, we must pack as much as we possibly can because only what we pack is actually going to go with us. We're going on a journey from which we never return. I was talking with folks in the foyer, in the gap, and several of you will have had this experience. Brother said to me, yeah, when we arrived in this country, we had only 3 suitcases, everything else behind. You see, when you're on that kind of journey, you say, what's in the cases is what's going to stay with me, and I want to be sure that I pack as much as I possibly can. Now, you see, in a profound sense, that is what you do when you give. When you are generous, look at what it says in this verse. You are storing up treasure for yourself as a good foundation for the future so that you may take hold of that which is truly life. In other words, what is given in some sense goes with you. And everything else is what is ultimately left behind. So pack in all the generosity you possibly can in the course of your very short life in this world. Then you know how to abound. That's how you do it. And lastly, and very briefly, this: you know how to abound when you enjoy what you have, but you do not depend on it for your joy. Look at verse 17 here. God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. I love that statement. God gives us everything to enjoy. A person who knows how to abound will have great freedom, great joy. The person who knows how to abound does not go through life with a kind of scrupulous conscience, always wondering, is it okay to buy this coat or to drive this car or to go on this vacation or to live in this home? No, knowing how to abound means enjoying what you have in a way that glorifies God. Where the Spirit of God is, there is great happiness and there is great freedom. But here's the deal. Knowing how to abound means that you enjoy what you have, but you don't depend on what you have for your joy. And there is, at the end of the day, only one way in which you can do that. And that is that you have more joy in Jesus Christ than in everything he has given to you in this world. And that's why right in the middle of this scripture, we have reference to the blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Have you come to a place where truly Jesus Christ is more than the world to you? Because if the world is more to you than Jesus, you will always be chasing the world and you will never be content. Your joy will depend on what you have, and one day your joy will be taken away. But if Jesus Christ is more to you than the world, you can enjoy what he gives to you, but you will not depend on it for your joy. Your greater joy will be in Jesus Christ. Therefore, you will hold what he gives to you with an open hand. You will know that you are a steward who one day will give an account. You will constantly be asking, what is the best use that I can make of all that Jesus Christ trusts to me? And when your joy is in Jesus, nobody will ever be able to take away your joy.
What a great truth for us to be thinking about as we wrap up this program. When your joy is in Jesus, nobody will ever be able to take away that joy. We're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called How to Handle the Blessing of God. It's from a series called The Art of Contentment, and we've been seeing how contentment doesn't mean that you're indifferent to your circumstances. It means that you're not controlled by your circumstances. And if you missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. It's your generosity that allows us to bring you Pastor Colin's teaching each day, whether it's on the radio, the podcast, or the app. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a copy of Tim Keller's book, The Prodigal God, Recovering the Heart of the Christian Faith. And Colin, who is this book for?
Well, I think this book is for anyone who wants to see how God receives us when we come to him. What's brilliant about this book is that Tim Keller's retelling of the story of the prodigal son draws attention to the fact that there are two sons. Yes, one was prodigal, but the other one had his own problems. He stayed at home. He worked extremely hard for the father, and then he felt that the father owed him something more than he had actually received. Tim Keller talks about it this way. He says, elder brothers expect their goodness to pay off, and if it doesn't, there is confusion and rage. You will always feel that you are owed more than you're getting. That's the position of the older brother. And I think many folks will relate to this. You know, I've lived a good life. I've lived a moral life. Why has God not given me more? That's exactly where the elder brother was in the story. So this speaks both to people who have lived a life of rebellion and to people who have lived a dutiful, model, hard-working, faithful life and may struggle with the same kind of heart and the same kind of resentment that is seen in the elder brother. The good news is that the lavish grace of God is extended to every person, whether we be rebels or whether we be moral and dutiful. We all stand in need of the grace of God, and the grace of God is wonderfully extended towards us. It's a marvelous book that really speaks to everyone.
And we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible this month. You can give over the phone when you call 1-877-OPEN-365 or online at openthebible.org. And if you've never given a gift of support before, this would be a great time to give, because not only will we send you a copy of Tim Keller's book called The Prodigal God, but we're going to be able to double your first-time gift thanks to the generosity of another supporter of Open the Bible. You can give online at openthebible.org or again call 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Fly Through the Bible is a short, simple, and shareable book that you can use with a friend, a neighbor, or a loved one who needs to know Jesus. It's also freely available online. Fly Through the Bible will introduce you to five people in the Old Testament, five events in the life of Jesus, and five gifts God gives to every believer. You could ask a friend to read Fly Through the Bible with you. The book has 15 chapters. You could read a chapter and meet together over coffee and discuss the questions. Fly Through the Bible is designed to help you open the Bible with others. It will give you a better grasp of the Bible story, and most of all, it will help you to grow in your love for Jesus Christ. For more information, visit openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly.